I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's hour number two. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott.
You know, I love my Bart boxing, man. You know what I mean? Caleb Plant and Canelo, man.
That press conference is real. That press conference. But now, again, sometimes that feels staged. Like, those look like let's get some drama. But the way Canelo took a swipe at him.
He swiped at Canelo. I thought Canelo pushed him.
Yeah, Canelo. That's what I meant. Canelo pushed. But then he cut him.
Oh, he cut.
Yeah, because I think he hit the glasses or something. I think he cut him. You didn't see that?
But let me tell you what Canelo. Let me tell you something, Canelo. I respect you, bro, and I know you're eating your Mexican beef. The Caleb is capable. All that stuff is fine.
21-0, right?
Yeah, but you know, whatever. Let's just say, he ain't fighting like one of Charles Swin. Like, it's other fights for him to have out there. He could fight Bidez and all those guys too. But let me tell you what you're not gonna do, and what you don't want to do. You do not want to poke that bear and make him come out of retirement and kick your ass.
Uh-oh.
You will not disrespect Andre Ward. You do not want that. Listen, DOG, you don't want none of that, man. This dude is one of the greatest of all time, and he's undefeated. He's never lost. And you can talk about whoever you put in front of him, but you keep talking that smoke, man. Right now, he enjoying commentating, and he's saying all this stuff, but you start talking and you poke that bear, night-night.
All right, with that in mind, explain to those listening like myself who need reference on what you're saying. What is Canelo doing here with Ward?
Okay, so Canelo's fighting
Plant. He's not fighting. Wait, he's fighting Plant. Yeah.
So Andre Ward has kind of been in Caleb's camp, kind of just giving him tips and stuff like that. And listen, he's a Hall of Famer, but he ain't too old to get back in the ring. He retired because he was bored and he had nothing else to do, and he had beat everybody that was considered in his weight class, considered somebody that was good, right? So you poke that bear and you make that bear get up. It's like I don't know if you guys ever seen A Rage in Harlem with Lawrence Fishburne. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there and his cousin talking to him when he's drunk, talking about my Eleanor. And he said, "Eleanor, I told you, take your drunk ass home. Don't make me raise up out of this seat." Don't let the OG do that, man, because you can let the little light skin look like Ludacris, all that little soft stuff. He is a killer. You don't want that smoke, man. Sometimes you can be pounding your chest because you're on top and you're feeling good, and you bite off a little bit more you can chew.
Speaking of killers, Audiophiles has a line from today's Get Up that if you didn't hear it, must be heard, because it has something to do with hands that kill, and it definitely will get your attention. Audiophiles coming up in just about 7 minutes, so you want to stay tuned for that. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We want you to sign up with DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Use code BART to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So we didn't get a chance. So we played for you Aaron Rodgers earlier, but then we had Jeff Donaldson on, and we really talked more with him about it than we did each other. So let's just kind of go back to it, because this is something that it goes beyond, I think, Aaron Rodgers. This is something that, with the expansion of media coverage, with the expansion of obviously social media, with the introduction of the fact that you have reporters who report for media outlets, and then you have this, what's really become a new generation of reporters, analysts, media type people who strictly use social media. And then, of course, there's former players who use a platform as well to say what they want to say. There's a lot of voices now in sports, in really in everything that's media-wise, politically as well. And so I think you're starting to see some athletes, especially the guys at the very top, the best of the best. LeBron does this a lot too, who really do bristle. Not at the criticism of people that are, you know, like maybe they respect or they know, but really of like the louder voices of those that they really are like, who the hell is this guy? Right? Who is this saying this about me? King. You don't even know me. Right. And so Aaron Rodgers, remember how upset he got the first time around. This is, you know, had a great second half against the Lions, looked fantastic, looked like Aaron Rodgers. Okay, the bad man is back after he just looked pedestrian, looked bad in week one in the loss to the Saints. And so all the thinking was, boy, they had a real dramatic offseason. He wasn't part of minicamp and OTAs and everything like that. Showed up just in time for camp. So is Aaron Rodgers, did he lose a little bit? Is it going to take him a while to get back? And so Aaron Rodgers didn't like seeing all this criticism, and he was on Pat McAfee right after the win against the Lions. And, you know, had this to say about some critics.
It's absolute horseshit to give a platform to people who have no idea what they're talking about as far as my mental state and, you know, my focus, my work habits. People that have not been around me, they're not in my life. I don't have communication with them or not in the locker room. I mean, that's just, it's chicken. I think all these people who are on these shows now believe they're celebrities and then believe that they have this platform to use it to say whatever the hell they want. And that's how they garner the attention. That's how they get promotions. That's how they get to be on multiple networks. That's how they, you know, get their name out there and get a blue check mark and get to go to the Met Ball.
I mean, he's not wrong. That is the business. And some people have made a lot of money off of the ability to make,
TMZ.
Have takes. Well, it's not TMZ as much as it's TMZ just
sports.
People that you know have an ability to entertain people with their takes about sports and sports people. Now, again, that's from the Pat McAfee show on YouTube.com.
Are you going to push the next one?
Yeah.
3 hours later.
Look, I do want to maybe rephrase or refocus what I said. I strongly believe in everybody's ability to have an opinion, and I respect the fact that they have an opinion and should have an opinion. My issue is a platform given to individuals who only desire to say inflammatory things that are not based in fact. Personally, I think I would be a little sensitive to people questioning my commitment to this team. Said it from the start, if I wasn't 100% committed to the squad and my team, then I wouldn't have come back. Now, maybe people thought that was, you know, some sort of cliche line or obligatory statement, but it was the truth.
I mean, that is directly about JerMichael Finley and how Finley went to...
Does he have a blue check?
I can't tell you about that. I'm sure he does as an athlete, but, you know, that's a former teammate of his that was on several shows. I believe he was on, right, the morning show with Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, right? I believe he was there. I know, I remember when I was filling in on that morning show, we had him on one time, and he, you know, was taking shots at him.
Yeah.
So I believe that's more about that and less about, and I think that's why he was saying, you know, everybody has their – of course, can express their opinion on things. But what he's saying is, but you
people that haven't been around me.
Yeah, you're not in the room.
I was wondering if he was going to say hadn't been around me in a long time. Well, that would have definitely told us
yeah.
what he was talking about.
And also him saying, you know, questioning my, you know, commitment to the team. So you could question ability. And I've always felt that too. Like, it might be boring to some people, but there is some, there still has to be, you know, some character to this when you do this job. Like, you still have to understand that, you know, you don't have to make it personal. Aaron Rodgers is not like, well, he's not committed to the team. I've said it's diva. You know, it's what he was doing this offseason was a bit of a diva thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, he's earned that. All right.
Yeah.
But to say he's not committed, you know, other people that were saying that he's like, is he maybe trying to just ruin the Packers? Like, come in here and I'm just going to play like crap and ruin everything. Like, nobody's doing
too
that.
Much at risk.
He's too big of a competitor
yeah.
to do something like that. Now, you could say he really wasn't ready to play yet. Like, it's going to take him a while. Because I didn't feel like he played well in the first half against Detroit.
He didn't.
Second half, yeah. And all of a sudden, it just snapped.
Yeah, oh, cover two. They're doing cover two. Let's do this. Oh, they're giving one-on-one coverage to Devontae Adams. They ain't did that all week. But the thing is, right, people always do this, right? They expect you to be able to just be locked in on only that, right? Just eat, sleep at the facility. We're more complex than that, people. Like, at the end of the day, sometimes when I leave the facility or I left the facility, I had to think about my businesses that I was running. Or I had to think about my kids and their games, right? So because he was thinking about Jeopardy and he was contemplating different things in his life, they say they try and equate that, well, he can't do two things. He can't be all in. Yes, you can. Like, we do it all the time.
Well, he checked out, but then he checked back in.
Yes, and when I'm in the building and it's football time, I know how much football I need to consume to have me ready. Like, at some point in when you start to grow and being in the league for a long time, you can do other things. You can have other interests.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is LeBron James not committed because he's filming movies in the offseason and doing his production company. No, he's just as committed, but he understands that everything has an end and you have to start transitioning.
LeBron is a great example, though, and I think it's a great parallel to it. LeBron is somebody that does bristle to criticism. He's the one that – and he almost like embraces it, that hashtag right. Washed King. Once he sees people knocking him down of he's no longer the best player in the world, or will he ever win another championship? He'll never catch Michael Jordan. So, that stuff feeds him. And I think Aaron Rodgers is just showing us, A, he listens and sees everything.
Of course.
100%. He's not a guy that's like, pay attention to that. Yes, you do. And I don't. That's why I never believed any athlete who says, I don't pay attention to that stuff, or any coach that says, yes, you do. No. Yes, you do. You can't help it. And you do, you know it, and it feeds you. And, of course, that's all part of it. I still believe, and I know we said this about Baez, and everybody got mad at me for saying it. You disagree with me as well. Mm-hmm. Baez is always going to be a hard worker. It doesn't matter. But that whole thing with him and the fans, with the New York Mets, you can't tell me that that didn't all of a sudden put a little extra something into what he was doing. I know he's an all-out player. But you pay attention to that stuff, and it gives you a little extra gas. Mm-hmm. That didn't help because the Mets aren't going to make the playoffs.
Because they want to shut you up.
But this gave Aaron Rodgers a little extra gas, and you know who paid for it? The Lions. And now I'm curious to see this week against, you know, again, a real formidable defense and a formidable opponent.
This team had their number, yeah.
Is all right, now let's see. Did that second half show us that Aaron Rodgers just had to get back into rhythm after not really doing much in the offseason? And did he just get that? Did he get it back? That's what we'll find out, because all this chatter, it won't matter. If he has a bad game again and now they're 1-2, yeah, then this only gets louder. But if he looks like Aaron Rodgers again, then yeah, it all goes away. Simple as that. It all goes away. So he controls this narrative just like LeBron controls it. You want to give it life?
Yeah, he can look like A-Ron, though, but if they lose, he's going to get all the blame. Even if that defense
great
is horrible.
Players always do.
Yeah, yeah. So like... it's going to be chatter and noise. That's just what it is. I think it just irked them because they questioned his commitment to the game. And I think that's what irritated them more than anything. But, I mean, that's the world we live in now. Like, so just adjust to it.
You know what time it is, Barscott? No. Don't say it yet. It's Alan Hahn, Barscott, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. And now, Bart Scott, what time is it? Audio foul. It's really just an excuse to use the gong. Like, I'll be the first to admit it. It's just, I love having it nearby, and any reason to use it, we use it. So speaking of things said in the media, so you remember when Gronk came, like the Manning's broadcast, which by the way, the viewership skyrocketed in week two. So it's still clearly becoming destination TV when watching Monday Night Football, whether you stay on it for the whole game or just, you know, parachute in at times just to see what the guys are talking about. It really has become an entertaining side broadcast to the Monday Night Football machine that it is. And so they had Rob Gronkowski on at one point, and they were talking to Gronk about, you know, he was just having fun. And at one point he said he never watches film. Nah, I don't watch film. I just, what did he say?
I asked Tom to tell me what I need to know.
Yeah, he's, I just run by a guy. I just run by a guy and Tom throws me the ball. Like it was just something simple as that. So, of course, that gets to Bruce Arians, who says this.
Oh, man, I cracked up. I had a lot of fun with that with the press yesterday because he lost his veteran days off, you know, and he recanted hard yesterday in the press. He watches more film. He mm-hmm. One thing about Gronk now, he is super prepared. You know, he gets in there with Eli and Peyton and talks all that silly stuff, but he is as hard a worker as anybody we have.
Again, that's Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Bucs, of course, on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning. So, Bart, he took away his veteran day, he said.
Yeah, you know what that is. So, vet day is like you don't have to really work maybe the first period on Wednesdays that you get, you know, time back. You know what I mean? They may ask you to play work on Thursday. We used to have 30 and over club. You know what I mean? So now you're like, hold up, man. You full go today, baby? Nah, we got to get you prepared because you don't watch film. But I tell you what, man. Like,
Hang on. Let's just – so here's Gronk now. You're talking about walking back statements. Here's Gronk trying to make sure we all understand that he was just kidding.
Yeah, you know, I actually watch tons of film. You know, an overload of film. I was just, you know, I would probably blame Nelson over there. He asked me 8 times to go on the show. I told him it's not a good idea to put me on the show with the Paytons, with the Mannings. You know, they always get me joking around. You know, they always get me in that type of silly atmosphere, and that's what happened. But, you know, Coach threatened me now that I don't get my vet day anymore because I don't watch film. So, trust me, I watch so much film that, you know, my girlfriend gets mad at me. She freaking throws shit at me sometimes because I'm watching so much film.
First of all, he calls them the Paytons.
Yeah, the Paytons.
But again, so he had to now just make sure everybody understood. No, I really do watch film. I watch so much film.
So much film.
Lots of film. All day film.
Huge film.
Huge film. Like he wanted everybody to understand that I was just kidding. The vet day, though, again, like you said, it's valuable to a vet, right? Because you get that little extra time on a Wednesday.
Yeah, you don't get to do nothing. You take that day off. The backups practice take most of the reps. You kind of just chilling. You know what I mean? Then you come in fast Friday, show that you know the game plan. You good. But you know what? Nobody plays it up better than Gronk. I mean, because he acts like he's a Neanderthal. When you listen to him, you watch what he do, you would think he's like the reincarnation of Revenge of the Nerds. He's ogre. But you know, he's not that. He's really more sophisticated than that.
Yeah.
And he plays it up, man. Like him and Marshawn Lynch plays their characters up more than anybody. Not that that's not who they are, but they're a lot smarter, a lot more intelligent than they let off.
Yeah, yeah, they definitely do. They do put on that poker face and make you think that they're dumb, but they really aren't. And Gronk pretty clearly isn't. But yeah, that character got the best of him with the Mannings on Monday night. That's
the
why
Paytons.
You have to watch. Speaking of, well, saying things you probably will regret. And here's something. So Vic Fangio talking with the media. Now the Broncos and the Jets. And so what the Broncos have after a good start to their season is what everybody would now say, well, that's a winnable game, right? And now you're looking at 3-0, and why, how impressive would that be? And Vic Fangio's like, wants to give an example of how, no, each week you have to respect your opponent. And he used something that Urban Meyer, rookie NFL coach with Jacksonville that they just saw, said to him. But it's something that if you're Urban Meyer, you're probably like, yeah, I wish you didn't share that.
I don't know Urban Meyer at all, really. I met him the other day, you know, shook his hand before the game and after the game. And his comment to me was, every week it's like playing Alabama in the NFL, you know. And that's it. Everybody's capable of beating everybody in this league.
You don't think that's a good look for Urban Meyer, though, right?
No, it's not.
Like Fangio, I really believe
Fangio.
It looks
like he's shell-shocked. That comment seems like he's shell-shocked, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, man, Alabama. Well, duh. What do you think it is? These are the people that graduated. How the people in the league are from Alabama.
Right.
You're playing all the best players from Alabama, you know, not the scrubs. You know, and that's kind of what it is. And, you know, it could be perceived that maybe it comes off as he's, like, shocked and ill-prepared because he can't just go out and have great recruiting classes and be able to make his team better instantly. He has to go through the process. And to do that, you got to draft well. You got to get free agents to want to come here. And maybe they can draft well because they can't control where they draft. If they're the worst, then they'll get the first and second draft pick or the first in each round or whatever. But if you pick wrong, then it's going to take you a lot longer to actually to get enough players to be good to be Alabama. Right? He built programs before, but he built it vastly because he was able to get a recruiting class and have a huge recruiting class that can be 20, 30 people and be able to be good. So I don't know if he's long for the job. I don't know if he has the patience to wait through all this.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I understand what Fangio was trying to explain. He was using it as an example of, like, here's a guy that just came in the league and he's realizing that every week you're playing the best team in the world, or at least it feels that way.
Best athletes in the world.
And when you hear it, though, you think, man, Urban Meyer said that? Like, oops. Not something you'd really want revealed, but it was. Meanwhile, on Get Up this morning, this one really caught my attention. This was such a lively segment. It was so much fun. It's always great to hear Damian Woody, who is so polished, yet as a lot of you guys, a lot of you former players, when you're on TV, you get polished, and then you start talking about the sport, and you start talking about what you would do or how you feel, and then the athlete comes out. And that's where it really gets interesting. So here's Damian Woody talking about essentially like Micah Parsons, they're using him in many different ways, including as a defensive end even. And he's been very successful in the first 2 weeks. And Bart, you ask a very simple question. Do we have the question in this cut, right, guys? I want to make sure so I set it up properly.
Yeah, it's in there. It starts with Damian Woody.
Okay, so Bart, you set it up this way. Bart, you asked Damian Woody what question? It was,
Well, Michael Parsons kind of, you know, people are enamored and think that he's the next big star on the defensive side of the ball. He's played similarly well. He played out of position this week because of the injury to Lawrence. And, you know, people were raving, oh, he had four quarterback hits, a sack, and all this stuff. I'm like, D-Wood, like, this dude's feeling himself. What would you do if he lined up against you?
This dude is just playing on natural instincts. When he finally kept, when it all comes together, man, this dude is going to be a special, special defensive player in this league for a long time.
What would you teach him, D-Wood? What would you teach him if he was across from you, not knowing what he don't know what he don't know?
Don't come down the middle on me. Stay on the edges. Because once I put these hands on you, these hands have killed a lot of people. Once I put these hands on you, it's a wrap, okay? It's a wrap. Just work the edges. Work the Yeah, Greeny, slide on over there. These hands are lethal, man.
Like
just stay on the edges. You stay on the edges, you might be all right.
Suddenly that yelling at me feels a little different.
These hands have killed people. Hey, Greeny's just like,
Yeah, he's good all the way. Healing hands, get baptized.
But I love the way he tells that story because I imagine, like you were saying, because what was Parsons' famous quote now that he had?
He wants to be the Terminator.
The Terminator, and as you look at who's the next quarterback? Who's the next one? Like, he's got this mentality.
Yeah, okay.
And you always say, be careful. You might think that, but I wouldn't put that out in the world because there's a Damian Woodies that are going, Oh,
you want some smoke.
Oh.
Okay, because you might not even be on a scouting report really big. They might be saying, all right, well, we got to go against this guy. Like, he the guy? You think he that guy? Let me show you he ain't that guy. Mm. And if I'm Lane Johnson, I'm like, let me see. You've been rushing the passer for 2 weeks, and you think you ready for me? Mm. You want some of me? Come on. I got something for you. Hallelujah. He going to bless him.
That is a game. That's a Monday night game, Eagles-Cowboys. It's really a big game, obviously, in that division. It's a rivalry, of course. But now even more reasons to watch because Micah Parsons letting it know that he is not afraid to put his feelings out there 2 weeks in. And he has been a great story. But now, of course, the challenge, the gauntlet has been laid. And now, okay, who's going to now give him his, what do you call it, baptism?
Oh, baptism by fire.
What offensive lineman is going to say, okay, he's talking, so let's make an example.
You want to rush
this young fellow.
He's going to go over there, hey, coach, I think I want to go and play in the box for a little bit.
I'm good safety right now.
Just give me a little bit. Give me a little blow right quick, coach. Hot in there.
Oh, man. All right. That is audio files. Alan Hahn, Bar Scott, Barton Hahn. Coming up, Ken, Sam Darnold, move the Panthers to 3-0. Is this the Ryan Tannehill story again? And also more on Tom Brady. He's not even in New England yet. Yet we're already talking about his return and more talking about why the breakup had to happen. We'll discuss that and your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bart and Hahn.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Sign up with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Use code BART. Get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Hey, Bart, when we were talking to Brian Danielson, right, AEW?
Yes.
All right, so he made the move over, right? Yes, exactly. So that event was last night at the tennis center here in New York City in Queens. And our own James Steele, producer, and another producer of ours here, Pat Costello, went. They did not plant enough trees to get a seat upgrade.
Ah, they've changed light bulbs.
But Steele, tell us about this. Like, was this a memorable event? Was this worth going to? You go all the way from Bristol down to Queens and then back to work again today.
Yeah, it was great. We got to see almost 5 hours of wrestling. Our friend Brian Danielson kicked off the live show.
Yeah.
with a 20-minute draw with Kenny Omega.
Okay,
one of the loudest wrestling shows I've ever been to.
Now the roof was closed, right?
Yeah, the roof was closed.
Roof was closed, so obviously to keep the sound in.
But I mean, I've been to WrestleMania with 80,000 people. I've been to huge pay per views, SummerSlams, and
it was
all
louder than that.
And it was louder than that. There was just a buzz, and it was amazing.
Now, how was it in a tennis venue?
Yeah,
like, how did it work?
I'm not sure they were prepared for what they had coming last night.
Why?
You know,
the crazies?
Like 20,000 raucous wrestling fans who wanted to drink some beers and watch some wrestling. And
yeah.
I don't know if they had the personnel there to adapt to all the people that were there at the same time. The lines were pretty long. They were really long.
It's always something.
Yeah, I'm a Western Pennsylvania guy. Britt Baker is from Pennsylvania. They sell these terrible towels, with her name on them, and I wanted to buy one, and I couldn't get one because the merch lines were just like around the stadium almost.
Unbelievable.
That main event fight was so long, man.
You watched it?
Yeah, I thought, listen, I don't know if he had shaved or something, but his chest was, I've never seen a chest that red, man. It looked like he had razor bumps or something. They were going to bust. Like, hey, man, at some point, dude smacked the hell out of you like that. You got to look at him like, hey, man, I know you see my chest. You better calm that down before I punch you back for real.
Yeah, he got a lot of chops. Yeah, there were a lot of chops last night. Mm.
Interesting.
Did you do the Ric Flair woo?
Yeah, you have to. For sure, you got to do.
Did everybody yes? Even though he can't do it.
Yeah, lots of yeses.
Lots of yeses.
Whenever his music hit at the top of the show.
Right.
Yeah, we were. It was a great atmosphere, and it was awesome. Lots of great wrestling last night.
All right. Well, worth it for you to make that trip. Good for you. You and Pat got to go have some fun, and you made it back in time to produce this show. So congratulations for that. But yeah. It sounds like they're probably going to have to change some of the plan. Yeah, they didn't plant enough trees, clearly. But still, great to have it at that venue. It's a great spot.
Came up a couple short.
Yeah.
Just a couple.
Might need some more people to help next time.
Yeah, next time call Captain Planet.
Yeah, right, just a few
trees. Do you have his number? I don't have Captain Planet's number. You can pass it along to me if you have it.
All right, well, that was last night.
1-800-SON.
That was last night. Tonight we get Week 3 begins, and it's a Thursday night game that, I mean, if you look at it on the marquee, I don't know if you're running to your TV, can't wait to watch this game. I didn't mean to use your phrase there, Bart.
You'll bet on anything.
But Panthers-Texans, again, that's your Thursday night game. And the Panthers, according to FPI, is 63% chance to win. But Caesars has them as an 8-point favorite. And remember, this is on the road. So they're laying 8 on the road, right? Now, they haven't been 3-0 to start a season. This is the Panthers since 2015. And Sam Darnold has never been 3-0. Like, I'm trying to think, did he ever win 3 in a row?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Weeks 10 through 12.
Two years ago.
2 years ago, yeah. So I'm looking at this game on many levels, and one of them I'm looking at is just to see, like, are you putting anything into this? Because the Texans, I mean, they did look okay in week one, but like, do you buy in? If Sam Darnold and Christian McCaffrey, and they just win it again, and they're 3-0, are you buying or selling the Panthers as a legit team that you talk about making the playoffs?
Right now, they got the number one defense in the league. That defense is great. Burns, everybody showed up. You know, Jeremy Chinn led by that, right? Remember, they got J.C. Horn. Pedigree was one of the best corners in the draft this year. They're playing at a high level, and whenever you have a great defense and an all-world running back and two good receivers on the side, the offensive line isn't the best, but because they put so much stress on you with the personnel, listen, they can win anything. This is a good football team, and it was a good football team that lost a lot of games last year.
Close.
Like, yeah. They lost like 4 or 5 games by like 2 points or anywhere from 5 to 2 points. So, I mean, you add a better quarterback, and, you know, you get Christian McCaffrey back, you should be much better. You should be able to win some of those games, and that's what they're doing. So, listen, nobody was complaining when, you know, the Texans were going tooth and nail with the Browns last week and had the Browns on the ropes before Tyrod Taylor pulled his hamstring, walking himself into the end zone.
Right, yeah, amazing too for Tyrod Taylor, right? It always seems to be. And didn't we kind of joke about it? Like, what is going to be the injury that happens to Tyrod Taylor that another rookie quarterback makes his debut? And sure enough, it happened. Like, now, how many in a row is this now for him?
This is like three.
Baker, Justin Herbert, Lock. And now Davis Mills.
No, he wasn't. Yeah, Davis Mills, yep.
Right? Like, that'll be tonight for Davis Mills. So that'll be the third straight time?
Yeah.
Right?
Allen. What did you say,
Allen? Wasn't Josh Allen. No, I think Peterman came in for him, but I don't know if Peterman ever stayed. This is in Buffalo.
Allen?
No, it wasn't Josh.
Somebody.
No, it was Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, but
that was against the Jets, remember? Yep. Yeah. And then it was Justin Herbert in week one when all along Anthony Lynn was saying, Herbert's not ready, not ready, not ready, not ready.
He didn't even practice. He's just like, oh, he punctured a lung.
That actually brings me to, like, think about it. The Justin Fields thing in Chicago is kind of similar because the Bears, like, because Matt Nagy's been saying, no, Dalton's our guy, Justin's not ready. Dalton gets hurt, all right, now you got to go to Fields. And you wonder, can Fields now take it from here and run like Herbert did?
Yeah.
Like Herbert just took it and ran at that point.
But
they thought he wasn't ready, and he just turned it into an all-rookie season.
They gave him a soft landing, right? Because what happens is if he struggles, you can always go back to Andy Dalton like, hey, we told you he wasn't ready. He was just filling in because of the injuries. Because why didn't they put up Nick Foles?
Is that why?
If that's the case, why didn't Nick Foles start if the kid's not ready? So clearly he's under pressure from upper management. Say, hey, you know, Nick Foles going to back up. He's going to be our starter. Let's see what this kid got.
Yeah, no, certainly, there's many games to watch this week. That's certainly one of them. What does Justin Fields look like? And they're being very careful at how they're wording it. You're right. If he doesn't look great, they can always fall back on, well, we always said it was Andy's job, but this is his opportunity to do like Herbert did last year. Take the job and never give it back. All right, so coming up, we're going to give you the best bets for week three already. Maybe tonight's game will be one of those games you might touch. We'll discuss that next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
On Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. August, join us in the Goodyear Hotline. You know what time it is. Time for Doug Kazarian from Daily Wager joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Doug, what's happening, man?
It's good to be with you guys. Nice sunny day here in Vegas, even though we are technically in fall. It's still golfing weather. It's still pool weather.
I think it's always that way in Vegas, right?
Well, we get cold.
Yeah, no, I know it gets cold, but it's not like it's going to get here eventually. Although here, it's humid today here in New York City. But besides that, let's move on. I'm curious about tonight's game on many levels, just as a Jets fan watching Sam Darnold and probably clutching a pillow. But also just looking at one of these – here's Carolina 2-0, a bit of a surprise, heading to 3-0, which everybody's expecting. The line is in favor of the Panthers as a road team, 8. And Houston has a rookie quarterback starting. Everything about this game, Doug, tells me stay away. Should I?
I don't know. I would stay away from Carolina. How about that? In the Eliminator Challenge, which is ESPN.com, Carolina the third most popular pick. So a lot of people using the bullet this week for the Panthers, and it's understandable. They've looked great, 2-0 against the spread, but pump the brakes a little bit. Both games coming at home, both games against inferior competition with the Jets in the opener, obviously a rookie quarterback making his debut, and then they get the Saints, who are just kind of in disarray, right? They're not playing at home. They had to play in Jacksonville first week, and then the COVID for all the assistant coaches. So I'm a little reluctant on Carolina now traveling on a short week, and get this. We all kind of want to pile on against these rookie quarterbacks. Well, just keep this in mind. You got a home dog, which is just in the first month of the season when it's at least 7 points statistically in the last 10 years ago is really good, like over 60% cover rate, which means the market is just overreacting to a team that's looked bad the first couple games, but these are professionals and all that. But here's the thing that I love. Anytime in the last 10 seasons, so there's a short week, okay, meaning a Thursday game essentially, and then it's a quarterback making his first career start. In this case, it's a rookie. They're 5-0 against the spread.
No.
And basically what that says is you're overreacting. This is not a quarterback that's going in the middle of the game that's unprepared. He's had practice. He knows the situation. And also last week, the look ahead, so the advanced line. So right now we can bet week 4 games. So last week when they could bet week 3 games, This line was like 3.5. Now, again, Tyrod Taylor, there's going to have to be a point adjustment without Taylor. And then also the adjustment is the Panthers have looked really good and beat the Saints, who looked so good in week one against the Packers. So I just think there's an overreaction. I'm going to take the Panthers. Not the biggest play of the weekend, but I'm taking the +8, excuse me, with the Texans. I apologize. So I'll take the +8. And this is a team that's been bad for a couple seasons, but they've covered 6 of 7 as an underdog. So, yes, they're bad, but they're just good enough to cover.
All right. Now that all those different stats make it a little more interesting to keep an eye on. We're talking with Doug Kazarian from Daily Wager. What is the biggest game? The biggest game of the weekend, there's several obviously really intriguing games, some on the national slate, but you have one that's not on the national slate that you feel like is going to be a very busy game.
Yeah, it's right here in Las Vegas. The Raiders hosting the Dolphins, the 2-0 Las Vegas Raiders, and an impressive win against Pittsburgh, but we've since learned that Big Ben got hurt in the first quarter. We also know that T.J. Watt got hurt in the first quarter. They were already without Devin Bush and also without Hayden, so little bit of a different unit they face than the one that went into the Ralph and beat the Bills. So I'm saying pump the brakes on the Raiders. It's a very trendy pick. One book's even up to 4.5, but it's gone from – this was a pick in the advanced line. Now, obviously, there's going to be an adjustment with Tua and Brissett. Brissett, though, one of the best backup quarterbacks in the entire NFL. So this feels like an over-adjustment here. I really like the under in this game because I think Miami's offensive line will get kind of – beaten down by that Raiders defensive front that did such a good job against the Ravens and also against the Steelers O-line. But I think Miami's defense is solid enough. I think it's an over-adjustment here, but I would grab the 4 points with the Dolphins. Again, it's a lot of points. 3, we talk about it, as the most key number in NFL betting. 4, also a common margin of victory, I think the 5th or 6th most. So getting that 4, 4.5, but it's about 95% of the money on the Raiders, and not just Raiders fans betting blindly. It's going to take a few more wins before they go the Golden Knights route that we saw year one of the expansion team. But a little too trendy of a favorite here with the Raiders. Ebb and flow of a season, and Bart certainly knows that. No one, this isn't college. No one goes undefeated. It's tough. And a team that looks bad, like last week, 35-0, they're going to have a good week of practice this week.
Yeah, that's something to keep an eye on as well. All right, how about Bucks-Rams? Just give us one more here in about 45 seconds.
Yeah, this is going to have the most money bet of any non-primetime game. That's how important this game is. Usually the Thursday night, the Sunday night, or the Monday night games are the most heavily bet for obvious reasons. They call them island games. But this game, with the obviously Brady and the Bucks against the Rams, high profile. This line opened with the Rams, a small favorite at 1, 1.5. Has been bet by both the sharps and the public. So now Tampa a favorite. It's going to be interesting. It won't reach 3. It'll probably settle at 2.5, but it's the Bucks getting all the money right now, and it's going to be the most popular and heavily bet game of the weekend, it looks like.
Yeah, and that's one that everybody's going to scramble to watch. You know, I don't know what markets are going to actually get that game, especially here in New York. I don't think we'll see it because I think the Jets play the late game at 4:25. So red zone, here I come, Doug. Yes. Here I come. Yes. All right. Doug, thanks so much. Have a great week.
You too, guys.
All right, Doug Kazarian again. You can see him on Daily Wager with all the information on all the action, including Bart. Like you said, that game, that Bucks-Rams game is certainly an interesting one. It's amazing it's not on one of the national slates.
So maybe one of the steals of the week is maybe Packers 49ers.
No, why would you say that?
Because, you know, A-Ron could be ticked off and maybe he does something about being an underdog.
Yeah, oh, that's true too. But, you know, also tonight, very interesting points he made about rookie quarterbacks making their debut on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Coming up, by the way, those in New York, stay with us, 98.7 ESPN. We will continue, including a possible trade for the Jets, a player who is suddenly available that Bart says the Jets should jump all over. We will tell you who. Around the country, we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.